So I want to spend a few minutes talking about ALL also, but just one other question. You've been talking about oral therapies, and we're going to see some data on oral azacitidine. I'm curious where you think that's heading.
So yeah, oral azacitidine has been like a mirage. Ever since we started using hypomethylating agents for MDS and then for AML, every single one of my patients that comes in for these daily shots has been, Dr. Wang, this is ridiculous. Isn't there an oral medication? So now moving forward, I think that the oral aza is finally moving into market. The problem with azacitidine is that when we give the azacitidine, we give the shots, and the pharmacokinetics are that it wears off certainly afterwards. So the epigenetic effects fade, but then we're not able to go and give more shots because it's already torture for the patients to come in 7 days in a row once a month. So oral azacitidine not only has a convenience factor, but oral azacitidine and soon I think oral decitabine coming down the pike is going to offer us a way to give these hypomethylating agents and give it more continuously and to have more effective anti-leukemic effect, okay? Because obviously your cancer doesn't take a three-week break when you stop the hypomethylating component. So oral azacitidine presented at the ASH meeting was used in a setting where it was said, well, after you are in remission from your high-dose chemotherapy, there may be a period where we're going to stop all chemotherapy after consolidation. And then patients say, okay, I have this very aggressive cancer. I could have died. What are you doing now, doctor? And I'm going to say, I'm going to stop everything, and we're going to wait to see if the disease comes back. And in that setting, traditionally, 50% of patients or more that go into remission are going to relapse. So this was attempting to address that and to randomize patients to getting oral azacitidine versus nothing when then into remission to decrease the risk of relapse. And the data show that adding something versus nothing is better than nothing, right? Epigenetic agents, well tolerated, taken as a pill, low dose, can provide long-term epigenetic modification, which can prevent, in a certain percent of patients, relapse from occurring and therefore translate into an overall survival benefit.
But it's interesting the point you're making about pharmacokinetics, because you might expect the possibility that just because of the convenience that you could actually maybe achieve a therapeutic advantage. I remember when I first heard about exazimab, the oral proteasome inhibitor for myeloma, I was thinking, you know, maybe the pharmacokinetics of that's going to change actually the efficacy. I don't know that that really has happened yet. But do you think, for example, oral hypomethylating agents plus venetoclax?
I think that's a new world. I think so, because I think it depends on the mechanism of the drug. Like, for example, if you had oral cytarabine, I don't think that would work, because that drug works by killing off rapidly proliferating cells, and you're not going to have rapid proliferating cells every single day that you have acute leukemia. But the epigenetics agents work by removing methylation groups and allowing for a de-repression of processes at the gene level that are important for normal hematopoiesis, okay, and for anti-leukemia effects. So hypomethylating agents in and of themselves take 4 or 6 months to work. So with that mechanism of action of these epigenetic long-term administration in order to get biological effects, they're ideally suited for a long-term oral administration in a maintenance setting when you look biologically, as opposed to like oral cytarabine. So I think moving towards a totally oral combinations, I think would be where we'd like to go, right?